Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Well, it's that time of year that many Americans are making plans and celebrations to celebrate the 4th of July tomorrow. And as I was asking the Lord what He would have me share by way of this special time, the Lord brought something to mind, and I went to the files, and there's something I'd like to share with you. Some of you may never have heard this, and it's George Washington's vision. And so I'm going to be sharing with you what he experienced while he was in his lifetime. He was, I guess, in the battlefield, and he had a divine visitation, which I will share with you. And in fact, I want to mention that if you've not heard it before and you'd really like a copy of this broadcast, the broadcast for today and tomorrow will be available in CD format. So you're welcome to request it free of charge. UCM, it's our belief that we've freely received, so we freely give. So we offer our cassette tapes, and this particular broadcast I'm making available free of charge. And we trust the Lord. He's, for over 40 years, He's met the financial needs of this ministry. He speaks to His people, and I rest in that faith, and He's never disappointed us. So before I begin sharing that, I'd just like to share a poem written by a John Rerford. He was born in 1800, and he died in 1881. And the title of this is, Lord, While for All Mankind We Pray. Lord, while for all mankind we pray, of every clime and coast, oh, hear us for our native land, the land we love the most. Oh, guard our shores from every foe with peace, our borders bless with prosperous times, our cities crown, our fields with plenteousness. Unite us in the sacred love of knowledge, truth, and Thee, and let our hills and valleys shout the songs of liberty. Lord of the nations, thus to Thee our country we commend. Be Thou her refuge and her trust, her everlasting friend. A poem by John Rerford. Lord, while we pray for all mankind. All right, let me share with you the vision of our first president, General George Washington. He anticipated the future course of America. Now, this was originally published by a Wesley Bradshaw, and what I'm sharing with you was copied from a reprint in the National Tribune, Volume 4, Number 12, published in December of 1880. All right, here goes. The last time I ever saw Anthony Sherman was on the 4th of July, 1859, in Independence Square. He was then 99 years old. His dimming eyes rekindled as he gazed upon Independence Hall, which he came to visit once more. I want to tell you an incident of Washington's life, one which no one alive knows of except myself, and if you live, you will be before long see it verified. Washington was a man of prayer. He goes on to say, this Anthony Sherman, from the opening of the Revolution, we experienced all phases of fortune, good and ill. The darkest period we ever had, I think, was when Washington, after several reverses, retreated to Valley Forge, where he resolved to pass the winter of 1777. I've often seen the tears coursing down our dear commander's careworn cheeks, as he would be conversing with a confidential officer about the condition of his soldiers. You have doubtless heard the story of Washington's going to the thicket to pray. Well, he also used to pray to God in secret for aid and comfort. One day, I remember well, the chilly winds whistled through the leafless trees, though the sky was cloudless and the sun shone brightly. He remained in his quarters nearly all the afternoon, alone. When he came out, I noticed that his face was a shade paler than usual, and there seemed to be something on his mind of more than ordinary importance. Returning just after dark, he dispatched an orderly to the quarters of the officer I mentioned, who was presently in attendance. After a preliminary conversation of about half an hour, Washington, gazing upon his companion, with that strange look of dignity which he alone could command, said to the latter, and he now begins to share his vision of future events. This is Washington, George Washington speaking now. "I don't know whether it is owing to the anxiety of my mind or what, but this afternoon, preparing a dispatch, something seemed to disturb me. Looking up, I beheld, standing opposite me, a singularly beautiful being. So astonished was I, for I had given strict orders not to be disturbed, that it was some moments before I found language to inquire the cause of the visit. A second, a third, and even a fourth time did I repeat my question, but received no answer from my mysterious visitor, except a slight raising of the eyes. By this time, I felt strange sensations spreading through me, and I would have risen, but the riveted gaze of the being before me rendered volition impossible. I essayed once more to speak, but my tongue had become useless, as though it had become paralyzed. A new influence, mysterious, potent, irresistible, took possession. All I could do was gaze steadily, vacantly, at my unknown visitor. Gradually, the surrounding atmosphere seemed as though becoming filled with sensations and grew luminous. Everything about me seemed to rarefy, including the mysterious visitor. I began to feel as one dying, or rather to experience the sensations which I have sometimes imagined accompanied dissolution. I did not think, I did not reason, I did not move. All were alike impossible. I was only conscious of gazing fixedly, vacantly, at my companion. He then begins to hear what this visitor has to say about the settlement and expansion of the United States. "Presently, I heard a voice saying, 'Son of the Republic, look and learn,' while at the same time my visitor extended an arm eastwardly. I now beheld a heavy vapor at some distance rising fold upon fold. This gradually dissipated, and I looked out upon a strange scene. Before me lay spread out in one vast plain all the countries of the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. I saw rolling and tossing between Europe and America the billows of the Atlantic, and between Asia and America lay the Pacific. 'Son of the Republic,' said the same mysterious voice as before, "Look and learn." At that moment, I beheld a dark, shadowy being as an angel standing, or rather floating in midair between Europe and America. Dipping water out of the ocean in the hollow of his hand, he cast some on Europe. Immediately, a cloud raised from these countries and joined in mid-ocean. For a while, it remained stationary and then moved slowly westward until it enveloped America in the murky folds. Sharp flashes of lightning gleamed through it at intervals, and I heard smothered groans and cries of the American people. A second time, the angel dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it out as before. The dark cloud was then drawn back to the ocean, in whose billows it sank from view. A third time, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At that moment, I beheld a shadowy being, as an angel standing, or rather floating in midair between Europe and America. I cast my eyes upon America and beheld villages and towns and cities spring up one after another until the whole land from the Atlantic to the Pacific was dotted with them. Again I heard the mysterious voice, "Son of the Republic, the end of the century cometh. Look and learn." And then I'm just going to share with you, that's all I have time for, the Civil War was anticipated. And this time, the dark, shadowy angel turned his face southward, and from Africa I saw ill-omened specter approach our land. It flitted slowly over every town and the city of the latter. The inhabitants presently set themselves in battle against each other. As I continued looking, I saw a bright angel on whose brow rested a crown of light, on which was traced the word Union, bearing the American flag, which he placed between the divided nation and said, "Remember, ye are brethren." Instantly, the inhabitants, casting down their weapons, became friends once more and united around the national standard. Well, I need to stop at this point, and I'm going to continue sharing George Washington's vision tomorrow, and I pray that you'll be able to attend this time together as we share this important revelation. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.